How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. As always, you can find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. And again, as always, same thing every single show, make sure you guys are using the promo code LOLAKERS on SeatGeek to get your $20 rebate on your first purchase using the app. We have a game. It's game day again. And I was actually thinking of this. I actually tweeted it.
There's a game tonight again? We don't have to wait another, like, 6 months?
It's crazy, right?
But there's seriously?
I thought to myself, and it was kind of a cool thought. Like, it was, as it dawned on me, it was kind of a cool feeling.
That there's basketball tomorrow?
No, like, that I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm looking forward. The Dodgers play a playoff baseball game tomorrow, and I'm sitting here looking forward to a Lakers preseason game. That I haven't felt like that in years.
Well, I would think it's mainly because, like, baseball's not that great, but I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
Harrison,
did I just troll like 50% of our listeners?
Everybody, you guys should at Harrison with just send Harrison baseball player names or pictures of baseball players all day tomorrow. Just he is at HM Fagan. Send him all kinds of, just send him random names. Like,
it's going to be funny because I'm going to be covering baseball in the spring. So that realization will add insult to injury.
Yeah, all the better. All right. So
anyway.
Anyway,
yeah, no, it's exciting to have basketball back, and I think we've talked about it on every single podcast since basketball was almost back, and since basketball has been back, that we're back. It's back. There's NBA basketball,
but it's NBA basketball that we want to watch.
That's true.
Like, last year, as the season wound down last year, I did not want to watch any of those games. I was actively upset watching those games last year.
You started to go down a dark path during some of those games, some of the things you'd start tweeting.
I mean, that's what that last coach does to somebody. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into this one, though. We saw some good things. We saw some bad things. We saw some stuff in between from the Lakers' first preseason game against the Kings. Most of the bad stuff happened while the starters were on the court, right? Both the Lakers starters and the Kings starters. And
by bad stuff, do you mean just bad stuff for the Lakers, right?
Yeah, I mean, just like, okay, stuff that we didn't necessarily want to.
Okay, yeah. I figured, because this is a Lakers podcast, but I wanted to be clear, make sure that we weren't talking about things that were bad for the Kings, because I don't really care about them.
I was disappointed Boogie never. Nope, I won't go there.
Yeah, again. No, we'll cut that. We'll cut that reference again.
But you cut it last time?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm just kidding. It is funny. You definitely don't listen to the shows, though, again. So, nice endorsement of our show.
I download the shows. Get them downloads.
Okay, anyway.
All right. Yeah, so The number one
most
thing...
of the damage happened to the Lakers while the starters were in the game for both teams, and then the Lakers made their comeback against the glorified D-League team that the Kings fielded in the second half.
I mean, in fairness, that glorified D-League team was filled with guys that are going to be coming off the bench for them kind of regularly, right? Like Willie Cauley-Stein was on the court, you know?
Yeah, that's true. For some of it, not a lot.
Who's the guy? It's not McCallum or... The shooting guard that they drafted a couple years
ago.
Oh,
Ben McLemore.
Like, he'll get minutes for
somehow
them, actually.
Somehow the worst McLemore, other than the rapper.
I actually think he can be a reclamation project, but that's just me.
The rapper or the shooting guard?
Oh, the rapper's beyond help at this point.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I was going to say.
But, all right, so the number one thing, unless you wanted to start, but my number one thing that I wanted to see improve from the first game to the second game here is the speed with which they run their sets, right? Like, I used the analogy and terrified you while I was making the analogy of somebody learning how to dance the first time or learning the steps to a dance the first time, and you can actually see them counting the steps in their head. That was exactly what we were watching from the Lakers. You know, a pass would happen, and there'd be that, you know, random moment where it's like, oh, that's right, I got to screen away. And after they screened, it was like, oh, that's right, I got to cut off of the screen, right? And in their defense,
basically, they had note cards in their hands of the playbook, and they would make a move, and then they'd be like, all right, let me just kind of slyly look down and check. Oh yeah, that's right, I'm supposed to run to the corner.
They wrote it on their hands, and their hands got all sweaty, and it was just
dang it, this is a disaster.
Did you ever do that for any speeches and stuff like that? I or tests or anything like that?
No, I use note cards. I'm a professional.
No, I mean,
I want
when
a
you
bunch
weren't
of ink on my hands.
When you weren't allowed to bring note cards, dummy.
I'm not a cheater.
Oh, well, I was. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. But yeah, I would say that was the number one thing that I'd like to see. Just a little bit more, you know, fluidity while it was going on. You know, you want things to look a little bit more natural than we saw in that first game. Now, the one unfortunate thing is that they're going to be playing, I would say, probably a better defensive team in the Nuggets, right, than they played in the Sacramento Kings.
Probably.
And so that's going to make it tough. Like, the Nuggets, if you look at their roster, it's a whole bunch of dudes with, like, 17-foot wingspans. I might have that number wrong, but that's gonna be tough to deal with. As they're trying to figure this stuff out, the Nuggets are actually a pretty good team, although they are not more interesting than the Lakers. Shouts to Zach Lowe and shouts to Adam Morris.
I don't know if it was interesting so much as it was league pass rankings. So I don't know if that's different to you, but
I mean, we're talking semantics here, but the Lakers are going to be, I think they're a more fun story right now than the Nuggets, but I think that's mostly because the Nuggets aren't what we think they... We have no idea what they might be right now. We know what the Lakers are going to be. They're going to be a lottery team that isn't going to be very good, but there are going to be moments that they look really good or that they look really fun. Whereas, like, the Nuggets, we don't know. I mean, could they scrap for an 8 seed? Maybe. Could Wilson Chandler pull his hamstring for the 37th time in a row, for the 37th year in a row? And could Gallo get hurt again? And could that team take another step back? Maybe. We just don't quite know right now, and until we find out a little bit more about that, I think the Lakers are a more interesting story for the time being.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
All right, so but what are you looking for when it comes to what you saw in game one and what you'd like to see in game two?
Well, I think what's kind of a bummer is that the main one is what you said. And then I think the other things that I thought of are, you know, I'd like to see Russell cut down on his turnovers. Mm-hmm. But that's an obvious thing. What I'd really like to see is for them to I'd like to see Jordan Clarkson with the starters, but it doesn't sound like that's going to happen based off of kind of practice today. And, you know, that Jordan said that he was okay with that, but we'll get more into that in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I'd really like to see is I'd like to see them experiment more with the small ball lineups. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like we're going to get that either, because the Nuggets have quite a bit of size. And for the same reason that the Kings and their 900 centers presented a problem with playing, trying out Randall at center, I think that the Nuggets kind of present those same issues. So we may not get to see a lot of that over the next two games against the Nuggets, which are Friday and Sunday. And so we really may not get to see that a whole lot unless Luke is really willing to get funky until the Lakers play the Blazers on Tuesday. And so that's four things. I cheated and I threw out four things and I'm not sure that we're going to see any of them. So I guess.
So just don't even watch tomorrow.
Yeah. I should probably just pass, right? It's not like it's my job or anything.
No. All right. So something came to mind while you were talking about, reasons why the Lakers won't go small very often, against teams like Sacramento, against teams like the Nuggets. And the counter to that is that Golden State, forced teams to adjust to them, right? So they would go small and they would run like crazy. They would shoot like crazy and teams would have to try to adjust accordingly. And the Lakers just simply aren't anywhere near that stage in their development. That, like, if they go small, instead of, running the other team off the court, it's probably going to turn out really, really poorly. Where the Nuggets get all kinds of offensive rebounds, the Lakers struggle to get consistently good shots.
It's real good. Counter to that is that as much as we like to joke that Julius Randle is not Draymond Green,
yeah,
and neither is Larry Nance Jr.
yet. But they're both going to be
the
better.
Future Draymond Greens. Mm-hmm. Two years.
The future Draymond Green 2.0s.
Yeah, future Draymond Green with a better handle and future Draymond Green, but a more athletic and better defender.
And neither Draymond Green, like their operating system came with the bug fix that they don't kick people in the
nether regions.
Yep, absolutely. So, you also talked about wanting to see Clarkson with the starting group or especially with Russell. I want to see it just for the sake of my sanity. Because
you're going to make this a thing. This is going to be a thing if they don't play together next game, is you're going to come back in on Monday and act like the sky is falling.
I'm not.
You're going to be like, all right, well, they got to trade Clarkson. And I think you have to move on from him if you're just giving up on him like this. And
I'm going to be doing Harrison's hot takes. My name's Anthony. I can't do hot takes. I don't have an H.
No, your actual basketball opinion. And I'm mostly kidding, but it just does seem like there are certain segments of Lakers Twitter who just think that you're going to react with the sky is falling to everything.
Well, those segments of Lakers Twitter can. I'm not going to finish that sentence. But no, I would say just for the sake of my own sanity, just let those guys get on the court a little bit, because what I don't want to see happen is Clarkson to be given this role that he's just going to come off of the bench before we really see him and D'Angelo Russell on the court together trying to run the system. Like, that would suck, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's definitely going to happen or that is even currently.
I would say it most likely is not going to happen.
Right. I completely agree. Something I was thinking about regarding this very topic, though, is, and I forget who it was made the point on Twitter. Sorry, whoever it was. But they might be grooming Clarkson for that role with the intention that over the next year or two, they'll get a better player there. So Clarkson is more ready when that time comes and when the team actually gets better. Clarkson is ready to just continue playing the role that they've already had for him anyway. And if that's what's going on, then one, that's incredibly forward thinking. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it completely, because so much can happen between now and whenever they do get this hypothetical better shooting guard, who honestly I don't know who would be. Right. I think J.J. Redick's a free agent at the end of this year, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, he came to mind while I was thinking about the hypothetical.
That's the second time that you've asked me that on this podcast. I think that's going to be a new segment, too. Anthony asks if J.J. Redick's still a free agent at the end of the year.
J.J. Redick
Fridays.
Is he
still? Are you sure? Okay.
We never know. Doc Rivers does all kinds of weird stuff when it comes to signing and re-signing his players.
Yeah.
So, All right. Now, the other guy who made news in terms of accepting a role, I mean, it was really briefly. It was like a Q&A on Twitter or whatever.
Well, so we didn't even talk about Clarkson, but Clarkson did say today in his first time speaking with the media since the game, he spoke with them after Lakers practice today, and he said that he was fine coming off of the bench. He just wants to be able to make an impact. So, and that's what he told me last June, mm-hmm. before he even resigned, was that he was fine coming off of the bench in whatever role the team wanted from him. So either he's really good at coach speak, or he really doesn't mind, or maybe a little bit of both.
Why didn't he talk to reporters after the game? Did we ever get a reason for that, or did he just...
I think he just didn't feel like talking to reporters.
Yeah. I'm not gonna let my imagination run wild with
this. I mean, the easy speculation there is he was mad, but the other speculation is he didn't feel like answering 20 questions about it and having people try and gun for a quote that they could use to say he's mad about not starting.
But if you're worried about people gunning for that quote, that kind of says something about what might be going on there, right?
No, like
if
he could
be worried that. I'm not going to talk about what we talked about before the podcast, but there are moments where even if your intentions are right, you can still say something that's inflammatory. Right?
Well, that's what I mean. That's why he probably didn't want to answer questions about it, is because he knew. I mean, honestly, out of the media people that were there, the standard hot take artists were not present. So he probably wouldn't have been under that much danger of somebody misconstruing his quotes, but you never know. Any soundbite can be end up being either accidentally or intentionally taken out of context. Mm-hmm. So he probably just I would imagine didn't want to talk for that reason.
And he answered the questions today fine.
So I would not imagine that that's a major issue.
I do wonder, did anybody ask Luke if he had spoken to Clarkson about Clarkson's role that night before the fact? Because that feels like something that should have maybe been asked.
I honestly don't remember if somebody asked about that.
Because that was the issue with the last coach, right? Was that he would make these adjustments, and then after the fact...
And then the players would find out at their locker room, their locker 10 minutes later.
And then after the fact, he would like gloat about that. Like, ha-ha, suckers, I'm making these calls. Biatch.
I don't consult with a player before I make a decision. I'm the coach.
Right, right. And that was a huge issue that I took with his style last year, was that, that communication is pretty important there. And for somebody like Clarkson, who I would imagine knew or had a good feeling or thought he was going to start, or that he is entering the season getting ready to start, I would have hoped that a conversation took place there.
Yeah. Well, Luke, I don't know for a fact if that happened, but Luke did praise the crap out of him after the game. So at the very least, if that conversation didn't happen, which I would imagine it would, if it didn't, then, you know, maybe that soothes things a little bit that he was saying that he was very good.
And honestly, that would be Luke's first mistake since he got here.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to give him a little more benefit of the doubt than what we saw from the last guy.
Yeah. Anyway.
In a Q&A tonight, Larry Nance Jr. said that he's okay with a bench role. So I'm asking you, is anybody on the Lakers, like, does anybody want to start?
Well, if they do start, you know, they have to play in the shadow of Timofey Mozgov, who is the only one I think that's been guaranteed a starting spot. And so that's intimidating, mm-hmm. you know?
He does cast a long shadow.
Like, yeah. In all seriousness, I think Larry would love to start. I think he also seems like the type of guy that's perfectly okay coming off the bench. I mean, him and Randall are both competitive, so I'm sure he probably wants to start, but he's also probably fine playing whatever role as long as the team's doing well.
Right. And the other thing, too, is I think guys are more willing to accept lesser roles than maybe they might have anticipated because Luke is so effusive with his praise about all of them.
Yep.
Like they know that it's not a spiteful thing that's going on there. Whereas last year we didn't know if it wasn't. You know, there were some times where while it was going on, like who was it that gave the quote who said that it's nice to have a coach happy for you when you succeed, or whatever the actual quote was, right? Was that Nance?
Oh, that was, or it was Russell saying like a coach that like sets you up for success, I believe.
No, I meant like there was who, I think it was actually Randall, now that I'm thinking about it, because the thought where the sentiment felt like,
yeah, yeah, I think I remember what you're
it's
talking
nice
about.
To have, it's nice to have a coach who I never have to, you know, or I, you know, I always know is happy for me when I succeed.
Yeah, it was right. Something like that.
And yeah, I mean, because these guys know that Luke has their back, they're willing to stick out their neck for him a little bit, step out of their comfort zone, and so far so good.
Yes.
All right. Not so far so good is how these usually turn out.
Harrison, yeah, seamless transition. We were talking about practice today, and I think I have a little bit of a hot take.
A little bit of one, or should we get the music rolling?
I think we should probably get the music rolling.
All right, here we go. Harrison's hot takes in 3, 2, 1, shoot.
All right, Anthony, I have to say, it seems like the Lakers' last 2 second overall picks don't have the clutch gene. I just was not impressed by what I was hearing out of practice today. Just to hear that first, one of these two high lottery picks first kind of blows something at the line, and then to hear that it happened with the other one, it's just a messy situation. So I guess the Lakers today, they were doing some type of drill or scrimmage or something. Who even cares? But Brandon Ingram was at the free throw line with a chance. If he makes both, the Lakers don't have to run a bunch of suicides or whatever they call running from baseline to baseline in today's PC culture. And so he missed one of the two. And so his whole team had to run. He doesn't care about his teammates. He just decided that he was going to make them run. Then D'Angelo Russell doesn't make both free throws. The team has to run again. Finally, Tarik Black bailed them all out, but this is the type of thing that makes people not want to play with D'Angelo Russell, I think. I think it's pretty obvious.
I mean, if I could add to this, doesn't Tarik Black making those free throws, isn't that more ammunition to people who think he doesn't want to try hard? He just took the easy way out and made his free throws. You should be happy.
Tarik Black is also lazy. Hot take.
There you go.
Throwing it in there.
Yeah. I mean, if we're gonna go full bore with this, but I do have one minor issue. I take minor issue with what you're talking about regarding the guys who missed their free throws. Isn't okay. that a bit of a small sample size to make such a long drawn conclusion?
Nope. Garbage bus. Both of them. The Lakers should trade them for, you know, literally anything. That they should trade him for Rudy Gay. He looked pretty good against the Lakers in the preseason the other night. Or maybe Aaron Aflalo.
If they can
get both those guys, then I think they're good to go.
There's a minor issue that's kind of going on with the analysis here. I don't know if they can make those contracts worth. Rudy Gay is really expensive.
The cap doesn't matter when you want something.
I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. If you sound like a Laker commenter.
Yeah, so that was Harrison's hot takes.
That was Harrison's hot takes.
Yeah, it was a short one today, but the Lakers drafted two garbage bus.
Garbage bus.
Again, the proceeding was satire. I feel like I have to mention that now because, shameless plug of the blog, on Silver Screen and Roll today, we had must follow Lakers Twitter personality at Master Red Snappa posted some quote unquote excerpts from Byron Scott's upcoming autobiography. And dang it. He posted some excerpts from the former Lakers head coach's autobiography. And there were some people that were very mad that did not understand that it was parody. And so, I feel like I definitely need to, you know, allow that my takes are parody.
Yes. No. If you aren't kidding, grasping the parody aspect of that, I have serious issue here.
I don't know. Maybe there are people that just tune in to only the Harrison's hot take segments of the podcast somehow.
So this just happened during your hot take. Like your hot take was so hot it melted my sandal. My sandal just broke. That sucks.
Well, there we go.
All right. Well, looks like, hey, Rainbow, if you want to sponsor the show, send me an email.
Power of the take.
Yeah. Anthony.f.irwin@gmail. Rainbow, get at me. All right. That does it for today's show. It's a little shorter show today. We have the game to preview. After the game, Harrison is, what'd you say, 99% sure?
99%. If I'm not a bust, I'm going to go on Facebook Live.
If you don't do that, I'm actually going to do a hot take about it on Monday if you don't do a Facebook Live.
Okay.
So, for those who, I mean, it's a win-win for everybody. You guys get to hear me rip Harrison a new one on Monday if you don't get to hear Harrison talk about the game tomorrow night.
Yeah, so check that out. That'll be on Silver Screen and Roll's Facebook Live after the game. Facebook after the game.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's just facebook.com/silverscreenandroll. And I will most likely, if I do it, I'll probably throw the audio up here as well onto this channel, depending on how long it goes.
Yep, sounds good to me. All right, everybody, enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy Dodgers playoff baseball. If you know, they're going to make their way back here to the city for game three. So if you got to get tickets for it, SeatGeek, use the promo code LOLakers. It helps because I would imagine those tickets are pretty expensive. If you're looking for last second tickets to tomorrow's game, hop on SeatGeek, use the promo code LOLakers, and you get to go there that way. Otherwise, you guys get to hear Harrison talk about it tomorrow night and then Saturday, and then I will be back. We will both be back Monday to talk about, you know, to give my thoughts on the game. So everybody enjoy the rest of your Friday, and we will talk.
Well, they'll have another game on Sunday, so we'll have two games against the Nuggets to talk about.
Oh, yay. All right. Double Nuggets dosage.
Double Nuggets fun.
All right. Talk to everybody later.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
Shouts to Darko. Free Darko.